A reading from the Gospel of Mark. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin, and people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, and I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it's the first of the year. The calendar has turned. All the gyms are full, at least for a few more days. And it is a time for new beginnings. Thus, we have today's lectionary reading, In the Beginning. Though it is essential for understanding today's sermon that newer versions translate the Hebrew more literally, not "in the beginning God created," but rather "when God was beginning to create." The former is singular and static. It's set and fixed for good. It's all past tense. The latter, however, is more process-oriented. It's in motion. It's in flux. It's past, present, and future. It's creation ongoing, or as theologians frame it, creatio continua. If you think that the universe was created in one singular six-day act 6,000 years ago, then this may disrupt your cosmology. But if you think that the scientists are right, and it took about maybe 13 billion years before Adam ever appeared, then creatio continua may be just the concept you need to keep listening to our church. What if creation is not complete command and control? What if it's not complete at all? What if it's ongoing? What if it, dare I say, is evolving? What if, as theologian Herbert McCabe once said, the act of God's creation is not so much like a sculptor chiseling a statue from a stone and then setting and leaving it be, but rather like a singer who keeps singing her song over and over and over again? And what if new lyrics are being written to the old tune, or even a new tune to the old lyrics? What if everything isn't all set? What if things are still in motion? What if evolution is a part of creation? And what if God is still creating the heavens and the earth and even us and our faith? Last year, my Sunday school class read a book by a man named Brian McLaren titled, Do I Stay Christian? A Guide for the Doubters, the Disappointed, and the Disillusioned. The title tells you where we were as a class at the time. And I'm glad to report I did stay Christian. Though I admit I'm the only one who got paid to do so. Anyhow, McLaren lists 10 honest reasons to leave Christianity, almost all having to do with the awful way so many Christians have treated each other, other people, and our planet over the centuries. But then McLaren gives 10 reasons to stay Christian, one of which is because, as he says, it would be a shame to leave a religion in its infancy. With his own struggles with historic Christianity on his conscience, and with new visions and new possibilities in his mind, McLaren writes, "The form of Christianity that has any chance of retaining my commitment is not a regressive Christianity rushing headlong into the 16th or 19th century. Nor is it conservative Christianity, change-resistant and defensive. It is rather an anticipatory Christianity, leaning into the future. We live in a universe that is expansive and ever-expanding. It's evolving, and its ultimate destination is not the past or the present, but always the future. We need a Christianity that is the same, McLaren says, not that old-time religion that was good enough for the 15th or 16th or perhaps the early 20th century, but rather a religion that will adapt, mature, develop, and grow out of its infancy and into something more beautiful, diverse, alive, and conscious in the future. Otherwise, McLaren says, the religion of Christianity will stagnate, decline, wither, and ultimately die because it's unable to answer the questions that have yet even to be asked. Christianity has to go beyond its origins. Creation continues, the universe evolves, and so must our religion. We see this in the scriptures today. It's the baptism of the Lord Sunday, and we remember Jesus coming to be baptized by John at the Jordan River. John was pretty much full of hellfire and brimstone. And he preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Christianity began with his baptism, but it didn't stay there. Not even in the Bible. Jesus did not act or preach or even think just like John. In fact, read the book of Acts, and we see that some who were baptized in John's baptism needed to be re-baptized through a new baptism of the Holy Spirit. My take on that is that John's old wineskins could not hold Christ's new wine. That is why Jesus himself said, "No one born of a woman was greater than John the Baptist, but that even the least in the kingdom of heaven was greater than he." We have to be born again, baptized again. We have to be open to letting God not only create, but also recreate us. That means we have to have, I think at the end of the day, a little humility. We should never be so stuck in our old ways that we think we can't or shouldn't change. We don't want to be like the caterpillar who looked up at the butterfly flying around and said, "You'll never see me flying around in one of those things." Not all of our ideas are fixed. Not everything is set. We see through a glass darkly, and we still don't know what we don't know. But we do know this, and I will hang my hat on it. We shall be changed, and we shall be like him, Christ, who was submerged into the old waters by John, but then raised to the vision of a whole new heaven by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that was still making all things new. We're in the Epiphany season. Epiphany means appearance. The star in the sky appeared or epiphanied over Bethlehem at the birth of Jesus. I am here to say this morning, new light still dawns. Wise and courageous people still follow. A wise and courageous Christianity still follows. We don't know exactly where it is that it will lead us. But isn't that just the point? Faith summons us forward, and we will be changed. And changed for good. And in T.S. Eliot's line about the Magi, no longer at ease in the old dispensation. It is the year of our Lord 2024, beloved. That means some of us are getting old. But though we may grow old in body, let us pledge ourselves not to grow old in spirit. For there is still yet more light to see and awe and follow. When God was beginning to create the heavens and the earth, it wasn't the end. There was so much, much more to come. And there still is. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee, changed from glory into glory, till heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say, amen.